In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, happy Easter. It's worth reminding ourselves, I think, that like Christmas, Easter is a season and not just a day. It is this joyful Eastertide, away with sin and sorrow. Now, today just happens to be the second Sunday of Easter, and we actually have five more Sundays to come before Pentecost rolls around in June. That's a lot of Sundays. And, more importantly, perhaps, the days between the Sundays also count as being Easter. And if we want to go one thing further, we could say that, as St. Augustine said, and as Mother Paula reminded us last week, we are an Easter people. We live in Easter. We live in the resurrected Christ every day of our lives. Now, having said that, it's difficult to get away, I think, from the idea that last week something got to an end, that we got to the culmination of something, that we got to the season finale of Lent. We've gone from the sobering call of Ash Wednesday back in early March through the slow burn of contemplation and study and prayer and reading in Lent, to the triumph of Palm Sunday, and into the deep mysteries of Holy Week, and finally into the glorious light of Christ's resurrection last Sunday on Easter Day. And as this magnificent arc comes to its conclusion, it's difficult not to see and experience an ending, and perhaps ask ourselves, okay, now what? Now what indeed? And you wouldn't be alone in having this experience of today. This second Sunday in Easter, that's its official liturgical title, also has another unofficial name that some of you may know, Low Sunday. Low, presumably, in contrast to the highs of the previous Sunday. And yes, statistically, historically, low attendance. So thank you for being here. But this morning, I want to make the case that this Sunday should be regarded as anything but low in any sense of the word. And that question of what now, this Sunday should be a celebration of the response, what now? Us, you and I, each of us in our discipleship, our work, that's what comes next. So let me explain. And I would like to start by sharing with you an article of faith. It's a personal article of faith. And it goes something like this. The Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the World Series this year. Okay. Now, some of you may not share this faith. Some of you may not be Dodgers fans. And we can take that outside. But some of you are Dodgers fans, and yet you still don't share this belief, to which I will say to you, you are just a doubting Thomas. Now, you've got to feel a little sorry for the Apostle Thomas. If he had known that his name would be forever linked with any kind of having any kind of qualm about anything at all, even by the most unchurched people, maybe he wouldn't have said it. Maybe he went away from the meeting afterwards, like some of us do. You have that feeling like, why did I say that? And maybe he realized in horror a few years later when he realized that John was going to write it down. You have to feel sorry for the guy. We don't know exactly what he felt, but what we do know about Thomas is he was anything but a doubter. He went from this place in this reading out into the world and traveled far and wide in his ministry. He traveled to the Tamilakan region of India. It's in the south of India, in Kerala and Tamil Nadu. It's over 4,200 miles of walking to get to that part of India. And some people say he got even further. Some people say he got as far as Indonesia, traveling with Indian traders. And while that can't be firmly established, what we do know is that Thomas converted several people to Christianity in the Kerala region and founded the St. Thomas Christians, a religious community that exists to this day. And to this day, many regard Thomas as being the patron saint of India. Well, that's not bad for a guy who's gone down in history for doubting. So what's the change? Well, it's the change that happened not just to Thomas, but to all the disciples in this passage today. It started right here and right now, right after Easter, right after the resurrection, in these events as John reports them. So today is not an ending or a simple report of what happened next. This is a beginning. This is the beginning of something amazing. The beginning of the apostles' work in spreading the good news. The beginning of evangelism and conversion that would lead to the planting of the early church and its growth. And think about this. What we hear in today's gospel reading, the apostles being called and empowered in their mission by Jesus, is the beginning of a chain of events that, amongst many other things, leads directly to you and I sitting here in this church this morning. That's quite something if you think about it. Now, I'd submit that you could put many adjectives to that, but lo would not be one of them. And this is not just a fascinating historical account. This is actually a call to action. We read here of the apostles being called and empowered, and we claim ourselves as disciples of Christ with a direct historical link to these events. So we too are called and empowered to mission by these very words from Jesus in this gospel: as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So, question: do we feel called? Do we feel empowered? I suspect the answer to that question is an unequivocal maybe. Some days, yes, we feel called to our mission, whatever that may be. Some days, yes, we feel empowered to be out there and making a difference however small in the world. But on other days, we may not feel called. We may not feel empowered. We may feel that the world's problems are too large for us and what we can do will make little or no difference. We might feel hopeless, threatened even, when we read news of people being killed in houses of worship. And perhaps we feel unworthy. Most of us, frankly, are not going to travel to foreign lands. We're not going to spread the word the world over, or establish churches in faraway places. And we can get lost in comparing ourselves to others, both living and dead. And we can feel inadequate. In short, we doubt. And it's here that this passage from John can become so valuable to us. If we think we have problems, just imagine what the apostles were thinking before Jesus showed up in that room. Their Messiah had just been crucified on a charge of sedition, and they must have wondered whether they were next. And they had barricaded themselves in a room, hoping to avoid that fate. And then Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Four simple words, but words of such power. It's hard to act. It's hard to feel called, and certainly it's hard to feel empowered when we're in a place of worry or uncertainty or doubt or fear. But these four simple words passed down from Jesus in that room and connected directly to us here today in this church and in our lives can set us straight. Peace be with you. Peace be with us. Peace be with me. It's a simple mantra for all occasions where we feel doubtful or unworthy or worried or frightened. So we've made it through Ash Wednesday, through the season of Lent, through Holy Week. We've followed Jesus from his triumphal return or entry into Jerusalem to the Last Supper, to Gethsemane, to Golgotha, to the cross, and we've celebrated the empty tomb and his glorious resurrection. But we're not done. In fact, we're only just getting started. So today isn't Low Sunday. It's something else. Maybe it's Kickoff Sunday. Let's heed that call. Let's recognize that each and every one of us is called and empowered through that unbroken chain between us, the apostles, and Jesus. Let's make this the Sunday where, from the great, joyful, triumphal springboard of last Sunday, we recommit ourselves to doing and continuing Christ's work. And when we doubt, and when we flinch, and when we want to hide, and when we want to barricade ourselves in a room, let's just remember Jesus' four simple words. Peace be with you. Happy Easter.